Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about Space Rehearsal and Recording. A uniquely Austin experience, preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists, Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery lit corridors, and excellent parking, they have the space to help you with your creative endeavors. Join their customers that range from local and international musicians, acting troupes, yoga practitioners, performance artists, and yes, you guessed it, me. Yeah, Skyrocket has a room there. I'm in Skyrocket. We rehearse there all the time. We all rehearse our individual things there. We go there a lot. I was actually just there this morning when they opened to get my amp for a show I'm playing tonight, and I ran into Will, the owner. We went out on the porch. We talked about it. He is an avid listener of the podcast. We talked about some of the shows that we listen to. Hugely flattering. Loves the show. I believe in his place. He believes in this show. So we got a good thing going here. Listen, I love rehearsing there. The rooms are totally soundproof. You don't hear a bunch of jamming all the time from other rooms like you do in some other places. And also, there's a unique thing that we have that many of the rooms have, which is a beautiful window that shines sunlight into your room as opposed to just fluorescent lights or something, or lights in your eyes. So those are big things. Everyone's rehearsing there. I ran into Alejandro Escovedo, hung out with him on the porch last week. Great times. Listen, you can tell them that you heard about them on How Did I Get Here, and they will give you one free hour off of your rehearsing. So go to spaceatx.com or call them at 512-448-9518. Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny.
All right. Hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you're doing well, that you have had an incredible weekend and a great start to your week. I don't know why I'm being so positive, but I feel like I need to be for all of us. We need to get up and get going, man. In a world gone mad, we're here. I heard Ultra was this weekend. My sister lives in Miami. She went to it. My little sister, Tasha. I did not talk to her about it, but I did see photos. It looks crazy. A bunch of kids stick their fucking tongues out now all the time, which is very weird. I'm going to learn about this culture. I'm going to go to Ultra next year. Pretty sure that's what I'm going to do. I have a great show for you today. Great show. I have a conversation. I was a little sleepy and out of it. I'll tell you why in a minute. But I have Daniel from Leopold and His Fiction and Lulu from Bone Firm Feathers sitting down together. They're playing a show together on Saturday, April 5th, 2014 at Cheer Up Charlie's in Austin, Texas. The doors are at 8. Bone Firm Feathers plays at 9. Leopold and His Fiction at 10. Leopold is heading out on a giant tour for 2 months after that show. I mean a giant tour for 2 months all over the United States, coast to coast and all the places in the middle. So I wanted to make sure that I got this out so that we can get the word out to all the people that are listening all around the nation to get out and see Leopold and His Fiction. They are an incredible band. And Lulu and her band, Bone Firm Feathers, I've just heard a limited amount of music produced by a former guest, Adrian Casala, who I love very much. Very great guy. Very great producer. And it turns out also that Lulu is in the band Thievery Corporation, who's also going on tour this spring and summer. So we sit down and have a great conversation. I was out of it. So I'm a little slow on the uptake maybe during this conversation. Or maybe it's interesting. You know, you get to see what it's like when I've had about 2.5 hours of sleep. And let me tell you why I did. I played in Houston on Friday with Skyrocket, actually in Clear Lake by NASA, and woke up to the most beautiful, like, lake. Clear Lake was sitting outside of my hotel room. I didn't see it in the night when I got there, but in the morning it was a gorgeous sight to see. Came back to Austin, played downtown here at a fundraiser for Any Baby Can with Skyrocket. A great show. It was a fantastic time. We had a really good time playing. You know, it's fun. It's fun being backstage with that group of people. I know it's funny. I say it a lot, but you know, Trish has been taking this video dance class where you learn dances from iconic videos, and she's learned Beat It last week, and so she was performing the whole Beat It video dance for us, which is really funny. It actually had me in stitches. Anyway, Then I got a text from a friend earlier that day that had said, "Hey, I wanna see you. Can we talk?" And so I've had an experience with this person, a couple of them. I've known her for a long, long time, and at one point we had a little bit of a thing, and then something real weird happened one night that I can't really explain. Because it is very personal, so I can't really say what happened. But what ended up happening was I went to go meet her, and the circumstances were extremely different than I thought they were going to be. So much so that I left. I left there, and we didn't talk really for quite a few years. I saw her at a friend's wedding. We talked a little bit, not much though. Anyway, so she wanted to talk. She came over, apologized for the weird thing, and we ended up talking till like 5 in the morning. And then I ended up getting up at 8 because I had to do some stuff in the morning. And then I had this podcast interview with these guys. So I was pretty out of it. I was really out of it. And anyway, it turned out great. Our conversation, me and the young lady, had a great conversation. And we worked out differences. And I thought it was really cool of her to, I like my neighbor just came by singing. Sorry. Can you hear that? He says she's such a freak. Anyway, I'm glad that we were able to clear up our differences and work it out, and now we're back to friends. So that's all good. Now I am I'm doing this the day before this comes out, which is Monday, March 31st, and I'm going to go play with Sweat and Lotion at the Charlie Hodge Show, which is live at Cap City Comedy Club. And you guys who listen to this show, you know how much I love comedy. You know how much I love being friends with comedians. And let me tell you, I'll tell you why, because I just got a couple of texts just out of the blue from a comedian friend of mine who asked to remain nameless because I asked him if I could read this on this podcast because it just came in a few minutes ago. Let me read this. You ever date anyone that was into area yoga and silks? I feel like this one has red flag written all over it. So I'm like, yeah, red flag city. And he goes, she's an amusement park of sex. The place is called Six Red Flags. What a fucking brilliant thing. I wonder if he's working out material on me. And if he is, I'm really grateful because, listen, I'm a huge fan of comedy, and that's why I'm doing the show tonight. I know it's not a glamorous or whatever thing, but I want to go be part of this band, Sweat and Lotion, that I think is great. One of my favorite funk bands around, and they play the backing music and the stinger music when comedians come on stage and go off stage. And I want to be a part of that, and I want to be sitting there watching those guys from the side because I love these guys. All the guys that are performing tonight are friends of mine, and I go see them and I support them. And I think you guys should get out and support comedy. If you live in Austin, man, there are some great fucking comedians, man. Amazing guys. Amazing. Okay? They've been on this show. I'm actually doing one tomorrow with the great John Toll, who I love. He's the only guy that I've ever accidentally erased one of the podcast interviews from. Anyway, so I'm going to do that tonight, and I'm pretty excited. Skyrocket is playing this Saturday, April 5th, in Houston, if you're there. Go out and see us. We'll be at the Continental Club. Come out around 10. It'll be a good time. We always do have a good time there at the Continental Club in Houston. And if you are in Austin on Saturday, April 5th, please go to Cheer Up Charlie's. Doors are at 8 p.m. Leopold and His Fiction at 10. Bone Fur and Feathers at 9. Okay, so sit down and enjoy my conversation with these two great artists, the great Lulu from Bone Fur and Feathers and Thievery Corporation, and my dear friend, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. I love his work ethic. I love the music that he makes, and I love the fact that he's always trying to find ways to do things better. Like, he's trying to do better. He's not wondering why no one's doing this or no one's doing that. He is trying to figure out how he can do things better and more interestingly. My friend Daniel James. Leopold and His Fiction, Bone Fur and Feathers. Enjoy my conversation with Daniel and Lulu. Let's get down.
Live with the trouble, man.
a good guy.
He's on tour.
He is?
Yeah, in Colorado.
With Grupo?
I guess. I don't know. Brown Owl, Grupo,
oh, yeah,
Spanish
Brown
Gold.
Owl,
some Mexican fucking
yeah, awesome
dance
band.
Squad. Yeah.
Well, Spanish Gold is like the new project that he's with.
But what's that?
It's with one of the guys from My Morning Jacket. It's the drummer from My Morning Jacket.
Yes. You know what? He told me about this.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure which one he was on tour with, but he was having beer. He sounded happy.
Yeah.
And I was stoned. So okay. It was a great conversation. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's a relaxed scene for everyone
exactly.
involved. So you guys are about to go out on a pretty heavy tour. Are you guys doing it together or just you?
No, Leopold is.
Oh, Leopold's well, you guys are doing this show together.
We're doing this.
Oh,
yeah,
this
on
is
April
like,
5th.
It's like the kickoff show for that tour.
Okay.
For us.
And, right.
And I said, hey, why not team up with Bone Fur and Feathers for this show?
And start a fight.
It's going to be Tell me about how much, like, where is your, what? How much stuff do you have? Did you do a whole record with Adrian? Is it out? What's happening?
No, we're working on the record right now. We moved from D.C. with two of the other members, you know, wanting to work with Adrian. And then we started kind of working on this EP, six tracks. And then once we started playing with the drummer and keyboard player here, we realized, like, the sound is actually a really good live sound. So we want to go back and probably record at Eric Wofford.
Yeah.
Wofford's studio.
He's a good guy.
And that studio is awesome. Cacophony.
Oh, tell me who your drummer is.
Jeff Bauck.
Who's that?
You don't know Jeff? I thought you'd know Jeff for sure.
Jeff Bauck plays drums, and then Stephen Kirkham plays keyboard, Rob Pierangeli on guitar, Conrado Bacolis on bass. It's a good group.
Wait, who's the guy that plays bass?
Conrado Bacolis.
Wow, that's an interesting. That sounds made up.
Quite a name,
but it's
that's
not.
No,
actually,
I'm sure
he's like a mix Filipino, Native American, and Greek.
Greek for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
So Jeff was a Momo's regular though. That's why I thought you might know.
Maybe him. I do. Maybe I know by face.
He played with Jack, Jack that was in New York.
Uh-huh.
He was in like two of his bands.
Okay.
Playing drums. So. You definitely recognize him because he's at Momo's like every night.
Okay,
night,
yeah.
So. Then I probably did. Mm-hmm. Were you? When did you move here from D.C.?
Last May.
Okay. How do you like it?
I like it. I mean, it's nice being out of D.C. That's for sure. Even though I love the city.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's a good time, man.
But you know, over there you have like taxation without representation, and here you have representation without taxation. So I think I'll take that. You know, the latter.
Yeah. That, what you just said, if you would have said it in a Jamaican accent,
it would have been amazing.
It would have been written
taxation down. Without representation.
So you're into this album, and mm-hmm. you hope to have it done when?
I think we'll be done realistically by fall, and just keep on putting some like singles out till then, and just play shows, record. You know, I used to feel like I was in a rush always to put music out, and I play with another band that tours a lot, so I was just kind of wanting to like make a transition really fast. And then I realized that it's when you don't actually want to rush things and you take your time and you don't put that pressure that the best stuff comes out.
Yeah.
So I just really like, everyone's like, put it out. And I'm like, well, just keep on playing shows and work the songs till they're ready and then put them out.
That's good. That's a good way to do it. I've been thinking about releasing music like that myself. Just singles. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure to make a whole album at that point.
No, and I mean, you look at now, a lot of the major festivals, a lot of the bands on those festivals don't have a record out. They
really?
Have EPs and singles. I mean, some of the band have singles that have been remixed by everyone and their mother, and that's how they got on the festival. So it has nothing to do with the record. I think it's just your live performance, making that really strong. So,
how long have you been doing this stuff?
Music in general, I've been touring for about 14 years.
Wow.
This is like the third band that I'm with. I'm still with the first one that I started in the music business with, so I'm still going strong with that one.
Still part of that. What band is that?
With Thievery Corporation.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I do terrible research.
That's okay.
Plus, my internet is down, so I had to do it on my phone, and it's not any fun.
No, it's not.
So is Thievery Corporation, it's still in existence and going?
Yeah, still going. The new record comes out April 1st. We go on tour for a couple of weeks here, a month there, so...
So when you go do that, you have to put the bone fur and feathers.
Yeah, the guys actually still, I kind of take a break, but the guys actually still rehearse, which is
awesome.
Oh, that's
cool.
They get together, they rehearse. There's a lot of five-part harmonies, so then they'll still continue doing the songs and sing their parts. And then it actually makes it really nice for a singer, you know.
Yeah.
Some rehearsals can be like grueling when you're just sitting there and they want to go over transitions like 10 times.
So there's somebody in there is musically directing things?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a team collaboration, but I think Conrado, our bass player, definitely is the musical director.
Yeah.
He pulls it all together for sure.
Wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I want people to rehearse without me.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to come back and they just fill you in on some of the changes as far as like some transition changes, some like...
It's cool.
Yeah. And you just hop in and you get to feel it and get more excited to sing. So.
Yeah. And so you get, it's easy. It's fun to be able to do different things and split your time and energy.
For sure.
Than to be, you know, solely...
Especially for genre changes, for me, it was really important. You know, starting with Thievery and being kind of in this electronic world, electronic music, dance music for a long time, I started feeling really, like, angry towards dance music. Like, I was only listening to punk music and, like, just really heavy rock and roll, like My Bloody Valentine, and wanting to make that huge switch for a while and not wanting to listen to any electronic music. And then I realized that it's actually, they all complement each other. If you do them all and if you, like, you know, go back and forth from each band, I appreciate the other ones better.
Yeah.
Like, right now I'm excited to go back on tour with Thievery because the new record is more bossa nova and, like, loungy. So it'll be, like, fun to kind of play that character.
Yeah.
But then with Bone, Fur, and Feather, it's heavy. It's nice to just bring some heavy, heavy guns and some rock and roll. So.
Yeah. I like heavy guns and rock and roll.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's why I like Detroit Dan.
That's right.
It's going to be your new name.
I can live by that.
That's a good name.
I can live by that.
Okay, so what you said in the interview was that when you had Ava, Jazz got pregnant with Ava, you realized that you were only giving 70% and there was more you could give to make it happen.
That's true.
And there's not many people that think like that. There's always people like, why can't someone else do more for me?
Oh, boy.
And then I think more people should think like you.
Thank you. It's true. I mean, you think you're giving 100% until more weight is put on your shoulders, and you realize, well, I'm either going to carry it or just not. And I mean, it's not fun just to leave everything you built.
Yeah, if you have a strong instinct of survival, you know,
sure
you'll rise to the occasion.
You have
when
no
you need
choice
to.
In what we're doing. You know, it's either sink or swim most of the time.
Yeah.
Until you do have all these people carrying it for you, and then what are you going to do? I don't know what you do with your time at that point. But
party.
Yeah, party time.
Everyone's just partying, you're right. So you guys have a show together, and this is the kickoff for your tour. It's Leopold and His Fiction, Bone, Fur, and Feathers, April 5th at Cheer Up Charlie's, 9 p.m. Bone, Fur, and Feathers, 10 p.m. Leopold and His Fiction. What is to be expected? You guys made a special poster for this. Like, are you guys going to do any joint
songs?
Joint.
Does that happen?
Joint smoking.
I mean, Jazz
songs.
Is kind of.
What
would you call
Jazz
her?
Sings in both bands.
What?
Actually.
She's going to be this like transition player. She's pulling it all together. She does backing vocals with Bone, Fur, and Feather. Fell in love as soon as we heard her pitch perfect.
They're
voice.
Having a baby now too.
Yeah, we are.
Really?
Jazz and I are having a baby.
Who's carrying the baby?
We can swap.
I have to carry it. Are you kidding me?
That's you, it's you this time, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can swap. We can just split our time together.
Yeah.
But she sings back up with Bone, Fur, and Feathers, and then obviously she sings with Leopold, so.
Wow, so she is, once again, the tie
she
to
is.
All humanity.
To all humanity.
Incredible, right?
Well, she told me that she's trying to meet everyone in the world.
Through music. Or
through
not
music.
Through music.
Yeah, it's to me... I always wonder, like, how does she think? Like, it must be so cool to think, like, oh, I want to meet everyone in the world, so I'll play music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, I got to play music.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll meet everyone in the world. That's how I think.
Sure.
It's opposite. Yeah. Maybe you're probably the same too, right?
Yes. Well,
I mean, you don't seem like you're really looking out to meet everyone in the world.
No,
I'm not.
Well, I'd like to meet some people.
I'm social.
That's a Gemini thing, though.
Yeah, we're both Geminis. I'm definitely a social, like...
What's a Libra? That's what I am. What is that? was
the balance.
You know,
balance beam, right?
Yeah, it's balance, but it's also like you don't like to not be liked, so you're very friendly and you kind of like you put things in perspective with everyone. That's what they say. But you know, okay. I'm learning to take all of that with a grain of salt because you could read too much into it and everyone's different.
Yeah.
You know?
You can read a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, right. So you're going to go on tour. I know, we could talk about this forever, and I am like half asleep again. Sorry.
Astrology.
You're
dreams.
Doing a whole 2 month tour where there's a lot of gigs.
There's
man.
A lot of dates. Yeah, there's a lot of them in there.
And you're playing. I'm just going to name some cities. Sure. Obviously, in Austin with Bone Firm Feathers at Cheer Up Charlie's on April 5th. But you're starting on April 4th.
Oh yes.
In the great where all tours should start, Waco.
The great. State of Waco, yes.
Where are you playing there, do you know?
It's a place called True Loves, and it's relatively new.
Yeah,
yeah, it's relatively new. It's on Franklin, and the owner, Eric, he's a really great guy, and he put the place together about a year ago. And
yeah.
We've been up there probably six times in the past
really?
Year. Yeah, it's well, maybe four or five times. You know, maybe this will be our sixth time. I can't recall rightly. But he's doing a great job. He's doing a really great job because he keeps the riffraff out, and he I don't know how much Waco riffraff there is, yeah. But from what I understand, there's a lot. When we're up there, everyone just says this is the place to play, and the vibe is great, and they put a lot of people in there that really like
rock and roll
that are kind of deprived of it too. I don't know. I mean, it seems really close. It's an hour and a half away.
That's like one of those things. Like you always think, like just in the term of touring regionally, you're like, I got to be able to drive to San Antonio and have a thing going on there because it's
think.
An hour away. Yeah. You can drive right home.
It's a hard crowd. San Antonio, I mean.
You ever do that, San Antonio?
Yeah, we've played there a few times. We're playing there on this next run. But it's a similar thing where it's like, you know, you say you're playing Waco and people are like, are you out of your mind? Like, what are you talking about? Why would you go to Waco? And it's like, well, somewhere, you can't ever tell. I mean, sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes just it's the right time, right place. And, the social scene. Is really into rock and roll, or you know, maybe San Antonio's into whatever world music right
I
now.
I love just cities like, where you could drive for a few hours and then go back home.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
After gigs.
Love that.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, makes it great. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna name some cities that you're doing because you really are doing the entire United States.
You are.
This isn't like a West Coast or an East Coast mm-hmm. or a Midwest. This is all encompassing, including the big cities. I'm naming big cities, but there are tons of other cities as well. So go. What's your website? I didn't write that down.
Oh, it's leopoldandhisfiction.com.
Okay, so there all the dates are there.
Yes.
Go do that. And Houston, Phoenix, Vegas, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, Nashville, Little Rock, Atlanta, Birmingham. Are you playing the Nick?
Birmingham. We're playing Bottle Tree in Birmingham. Okay. We played the Nick a few times. That's. That feels like it's in Waco. Just kidding. I don't know. But it's Birmingham will be fun.
The last time I was at the Nick, my friend Matt, who was the bass player on a tour I was on, and I was playing guitar and singing backup, and he decided that was going to be a big party night. He was going to... he almost got killed in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
In some, like, trying to just get some weed
at the
from
Nick.
A dude. Yeah.
Oh, man.
A weird dude that was dating... one of the bartenders that was a slash dancer.
Mm. Mm.
Birmingham's crazy, man.
Birmingham is crazy.
Does the Thievery Corporation tours everywhere, all over the world?
Mm-hmm.
You've been all over the world?
Have you been to the Nick? Have you guys
been to the Nick?
To the Nick yet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of me there wearing a top hat and
I'll
like fucking long ass hair and just a vest.
I'll look for
no
it.
No pants?
No, there's no pants. I don't think you can see it. Looks like I'm coming out of a pot plant.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we have for years. I started when I was really, really young. So.
Yeah.
You
look really young.
Yeah, you're
saying
really
you're
young
doing
now.
It for 14 years. I'm like, what did you.
Wait, started when I was in diapers.
The womb, yeah.
The diapers. You're going to do this show. When did you say you were going to finish the record?
Or I think
finish
by fall.
What you're
by
gonna
fall, we're... I mean...
Start releasing stuff. That's what I mean.
I think releasing
Sorry.
By the summer. Definitely
okay.
Putting out singles by the summer. Because we just want to go back a few more times in the studio in between my, like, Thievery tours. So we'll put some singles out throughout the summer. And then probably, like, start heavy shows and touring by the fall of next year. Right now, we're just kind of picking up here and there some shows just to... just a play.
Is the Thievery Corporation, is there like a big summer festival thing with them? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, every year, you know, last year we did the, you know, every 2 years you do the Lala circuit, for example, like yeah. all the those circuits. So we did that last year. This year we go back to Europe for a little bit, play some of those really fun Eastern European festivals.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the new record, since it's coming out in April, we're doing a little bit of that West Coast, East Coast, maybe back to Philly a little bit, so...
Is Philly a good place for you? You like that place?
Fun. I love the venues there, and I just like the people in Philly.
Okay, me too.
I don't know why I talked about it.
I like.
There's a longing for being in Philadelphia. I feel like it's the Baltimore, Philly, those old cities. I like it.
I'm not a fan of Baltimore.
I am.
I've never spent a lot of time there.
I think maybe it's also because I've listened to that Nina Simone, the Randy Newman Baltimore song, over and over.
Okay, no.
That song alone did it, huh?
Yeah.
That song alone.
It's an incredible song. So I have some sort of romantic association with Baltimore.
That's good. What about Detroit?
I love Detroit.
You do?
What song made you fall in love with Detroit?
Detroit. No, I think it was the basketball vibe of Detroit.
The Bad Boys.
Oh. Well, you know what?
Isaiah Thomas.
Since I've seen you last, Daniel, I saw Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, you did?
Show where he was in Detroit. And then I watched that Detropia.
Oh yes. The documentary.
And now I'm fascinated with going there. I used to be scared of it, and now I want to go. Be there.
Wasn't the band Death from Detroit?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. They were on my show.
Love them.
I love those guys.
Really
I mean
cool.
sad about the main brother,
yeah,
like the guitar player. He was a genius. They all are, but
yeah. You know, man, I saw them and it was electrifying.
Yeah.
Old dudes.
Totally.
Like, not what you would think would...
That was last year.
It was last year. Yeah. Well, no,
were they working with Frenchies?
Like last summer.
They were talking about it for a little bit.
Oh, they didn't?
I'm not sure. I think it's still in the works.
Yeah.
They're still talking about that. Because they live in, like, Virginia or something now.
But so. Those songs and that, the documentary.
No, they live in
really
a weird
good.
Place. Like, in a place where you don't expect black people to live.
Not from Detroit, anyways.
No. No, they moved to like Connecticut or somewhere. So, that's just that real weird, like New Haven or something.
It is Connecticut.
Real
right.
weird.
Weird.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, it's
a lot of musicians actually live
in Connecticut?
Around there. Yeah, huh.
What's
big land.
What's the scene like in DC, Lulu?
You know, I have to constantly bite my tongue when I want to talk about DC.
Okay,
it's a lot like Waco. It's a lot like the
without the Branch Davidians.
No, yeah, yeah. You know, I actually find that DC is more of a melting pot than New York or San Francisco. Mm. It's a super, like, it's full of different culture, tons of music, really interesting people. The music scene is really strange. There is this really intense electronic dance DJ scene, and then there's Fugazi.
Right.
And it feels...
Still, that's the thing.
Still. Jesus. And it feels like there's always this thing that you're either not punk... You have to be punk,
right.
or you have to be a DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that a lot of friends that I've known with bands for years, they've struggled a lot more in DC to kind of make a name for themselves because it's so hard to kind of maneuver between those two genres.
Yeah.
And feel good about your music.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, some of those bands, if they had moved to LA or New York... years ago, they would have started making more money and making music.
Yeah.
Like, but it's taken them like 6-7 years in DC to kind of break through. So it's an interesting place. I mean, I love both of those genres. I love all the guys in Fugazi. They're very active in the community. They have studios. A lot of the musicians play. But it's interesting what kind of like, what it puts on like younger generations. Like, they still have that like, strong following of like you have to just be really punk, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going on here and I don't see it because I'm here. Do you notice something? Are
in
there people?
Austin?
Yeah, do you have to be like Stevie Ray?
No, you know, actually, no. The reason why I moved to Austin is because I feel like Austin is very much like Colorado for me. They're music lovers. I don't think that you have to play a certain genre. They're just really open to like you being a good musician and you wanting to like share your craft,
right?
You know,
it's not a very warm place for electronic music.
Yeah, I noticed that as far as shows, but you know, they the heavy hitters still have a good following here. Like, people do like to dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think with, like, the universities, you definitely see the kids right. are really into their, like, to dance and electronic and DJ scenes.
So. Yeah. I went to an electronica show during South by Southwest.
Which one? You're like that DJ?
The one?
The one with a bunch of people dancing.
Yeah.
And he dropped the beat.
And it was awesome.
No,
Doritos.
I don't, man, I like it. I like that kind of music. You can still see the bullshit in it. Like, people that are just jumping on a train. Like, yeah.
See, I DJ, but I'll DJ music that I really love to hear out loud. And it's like, it's definitely dance music, but a lot of more 70s, like, obscure funk music.
Throw me some obscure funk.
You know, right now it's this collection that I found. It's from like 1971 to 75, and it's Daniel Jean, who's this producer in France, in Paris, and he would recruit all these local musicians that had residencies all around town, and he put them all in a studio, 40 musicians for like a week, and would just give him like perimeters for these jams or just titles of like old classics like Fat Fat Yellow. I don't know if you've ever heard, like,
those kind of tunes,
and they would start in those songs.
That's
and just
wicked.
Go crazy. And there are all these vinyls that I found with those collections, and you take one song, like, and it's an 8-minute jam, and it sounds like three different funk bands, you know.
That is awesome.
So that's fun to DJ.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's all those parties like Spilled Milk. I don't know if you've ever heard Spilled Milk parties where people just flip records because the records are good. They don't care about beat matching or, like, you know, keeping a tempo.
Right,
it's
right.
just about sharing.
Good music.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
fucking
that
cool.
Is like,
I want to go to that. Is there parties here like that?
Yeah, I feel like Soul Clap reminds me a lot of those kind of parties. Yeah. There are these Soul Clap parties that they have in Austin.
I don't know.
Anything
I feel old
that.
And like a dude with an acoustic guitar.
No, they're actually, you know, it's all ages. Like, I go there and I'll watch people from like, there are people from the 70s, people from the 80s, and all those kids from the 2000s that come to these parties, and they're wild dance parties because it's soul music.
But where is this? Where
yeah,
is
I got. I want to go.
Them, I want to say that I've seen them at Hotel Vegas. I've
oh,
seen
really?
Them at Mohawk throughout different events.
I need to slip
yeah,
into
we
this
should
book.
Look into it. Soul Clap.
Sorry, I gotta make a note.
Yeah.
I want to dance and I want to have a real good time.
And it's always fun when people play like 35s.
Play what?
Little records.
Oh, 45s.
Did I say 35s?
Yeah, you said 35s. I was like, is there something new I'm not knowing?
Yeah, there's something we don't know about.
No,
that's
I meant 45.
We're not in the DJ community, so
no.
We don't know about 35s.
I'm not in the DJ community. So do
either.
You DJ here?
I have. I have for like different events. I did during South By, too.
What? Do you have a mailing list or something?
No,
you can
I
find
actually
out where
have
you're
these
gonna
little
be?
Different outfits. I do on Facebook. You can definitely look on Facebook. But I have these different outfits sometimes. The last one was like Cash for Gold, and it's with a girlfriend of mine from San Francisco, and she'll do like D-Light style emceeing over
so
these
wait,
tunes.
Outfits meaning like a group?
Like, yeah,
not like
group.
Clothing you're wearing?
Both.
Okay.
I think it's both. It's like a group,
outfits.
And it's also just like a whole persona.
See,
outfits like mafia terminology.
I like that, though.
Outfits?
Is that an East Coast term?
Yeah, it must
oh,
be.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's a good little outfit.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. it's a music
about, like,
term that
clothing.
I always heard, I guess, from it's for a long time.
Outfits.
When people switch band members and
that's
switch
like,
players, it's like they keep switching outfits.
That's like ooh. A gang within a gang. You like, answer to somebody.
To the yeah, Mr. Fox
Mr. Fox. You answer to somebody, but you're not sure exactly who.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's a different outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a different outfit.
Fantastic Fox.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I just saw the new Wes Anderson. It was really good.
Oh, the hotel?
Hotel Grand Budapest.
Gotta go see that.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotta see that.
I gotta see that too.
I go to a lot of movies.
Me too.
You do? Okay. Daniel.
Yes.
Movies?
Oh, yes. I don't go to movies, but I like them a lot. And I should go to more. Mm-hmm.
Do you do that on the road? Do you guys go... Does the Thievery Corporation go to the movies together?
Do you really?
Yeah, a couple of the players, the musicians in the band, as soon as there's a movie that we really want to see, if we have a day off or like a good chunk of time off,
yeah, how do you find
the
time to do that?
There is, you just, you have to, you have to sacrifice something else.
Something's got to
like
sacrifice.
Like a dinner.
Or a shower.
Something. If like you have like 3 hours in between.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's a nice place to go.
Oh, it's the best. Get I mean, out especially of it. On tour when you're like, your mind can be a little fuzzy. And yeah. You need a break from everything and you almost don't want to experience sunlight at one point. You can just go in this dark, cool room and watch and get stimulated and then be thrown out to a show.
Yeah.
It's an awesome feeling.
I mean, my guys give me a hard time every single time we're on the road. They try to make me watch all these TV shows, like Bored to Death is one of them.
I love Bored to Death. Then there's this other one called...
Oh, that's a good movie. Jason Schwartzman. Good show.
There's another
Such
one called...
Ted Danson.
Something about... True Detectives.
Yeah, well, that's a good.
So here's the thing. So what I'm like, we get 3 minutes into it. I'm like, turn this. What are we doing here? And they're just like, just go, do something else then. So I get 3 minutes into anything, that's not if it's not active towards.
Yeah.
Towards somebody calling something.
That.
Then I mean, I really wish I could, but these guys have no patience with me. Because I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Just get out of the room. Go do anything. Take a walk. So it's That's how it goes. And it's you can imagine me in a movie theater. Forget it. It's like, I just paid $10 to sit in the dark. Absolutely not. You know, it's like, I really wish I could do it. But I just like...
I love it. I guess maybe it's my mind. I'm overanalyzing and thinking about things so much all the time that when I kind of dive into a movie or a series, I just stop thinking.
Yeah.
I just get to really relax and like fall into that plot.
Have you seen the Andy Griffith Show?
You love that.
They put that in a movie theater. We'll go every day.
It's like, you know, something that can just like take you away from like all your stress.
Yeah,
like, I love watching movies.
I do too. I do this thing though. Sometimes I like to go to the movies by myself. You know, and like in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll like get really high.
I do
and
too.
Go. And then if there's any kind of like. Like Lincoln, I wanted to get a snack, and then when I got out there, I saw they had like chicken nuggets, and I was like, "I'll get the chicken nuggets," but you have to wait like 5 minutes to get them. So when I went back into Lincoln, like
you missed a part.
I saw the first 20 minutes of Lincoln and spent like the rest of the movie going like, "Who's that guy? He looks just like the other guy that was like, what are these people so mad about? Why are they all so racist?"
I know.
Yeah.
That movie,
hard times.
I needed subtitles on that whole movie because I had no idea what was going on.
I liked it, but there's a difference though.
It was like reading a book though.
I can't go to the theater for movies that are after like longer than a certain amount of time.
Longer than 5 minutes, and I know that's what I'm saying.
No, like if they're over 2 hours, I don't. I haven't gone to a movie that's over 2 hours. I wait till it comes out because I have to see it in my own like
time.
I have to take breaks. Like, I want to take a break after an hour, take a cigarette break, and, like, pour a glass of wine, make some food, and then go back and sit down. Because I still want to enjoy the plot, but 3 hours is, like, too much of a commitment.
Check this out. I saw Wolf of Wall Street in the theater. I felt trapped.
Yeah, I would never watch
I wanted to watch that movie,
is that
but
long?
It just would not end.
Dude, I think
it's almost 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I rented it the other day, and I watched
great.
It over the course of 8 hours.
Yeah.
I would watch it. I would go do some stuff. I went swimming.
And
I came
consumption
back in, I watched
in that
a little
movie
more.
Makes you want to take a lot of breaks. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Plus, there's a part of me that's scared of, but also laments the fact that there's not Quaaludes anymore. Because it's always such a mystery to me. I never was hip to that. And so, like, I'm like, look at these people. I mean, are they having fun? Because
it's a little intense.
Jonah Hill just walked out in a party masturbating at one point,
yeah.
which is just amazing. I want to take whatever that takes,
you know,
whatever you take to do that.
14 years on the road, I don't think it takes, it's just Quaaludes. I feel like I've had friend musicians and like I've run into like musicians on the road at festivals where they're just
crazy, gone. Yeah.
Like I witnessed the guy like walking out with his pants down, laughing hysterically, and falling on his ass.
you know, I played with a guy for a long time named Bill Leffler who calls that van sanity. It's like when you start losing your mind in the van.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And you go to say something like, hey, can you pull over because I have to pee, but you can't stop laughing when you're just like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Is that how's the band getting along on the road?
Yeah,
still the same guys as last time.
Yeah, oh yeah, these guys are in for the long haul. Same outfit.
Same outfit.
We're all wearing the same pants that we were wearing.
But not Emily Hello.
She's not
replaced with Jazz Mills right now.
They both sing with us. Okay. They both sing with
us. Is anyone going on the road?
No, it's just guys. It's like a hunting trip, you know, a 2-month hunting trip. Yeah, that's it. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with the girls on the road. It's just, it's girls on the road, and that's what.
Well, someone's got to take care of Ava.
Yeah, I mean, Ava can come one day, but not today. You know, one of these days.
God, what a cool life she's gonna have.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I mean, once we can.
Kids love it on the road.
Man, they're gonna meet people like have all these cool friends all over the world. It's perfect for
me too, because we'll be there and people are gonna want to talk and all this. And I'm sorry, I got my daughter. I gotta go, do this. Yeah. So I gotta go do this thing. And
I know I took my daughter on the road the first 5 years.
You have a daughter?
Mm-hmm. She's taller than me.
Yeah, she is.
How old is your daughter?
She's taller than me.
Just turned 13.
My goodness.
I know. So I've had her throughout the whole transit, like throughout this whole time with Thievery. But she went on the road till she was 5. She was homeschooled for a couple of years on the road, then went back to school. She's a year ahead. She's like super chill. She plays any instrument by ear.
That's the way.
It's wild. I mean, I can't play most instruments, you know, and she just picks up anything and just like plays a song that she heard on the radio. But she's also just really social and like comfortable in all social environments.
Because of tour. That exposure.
And she's not like, she doesn't want attention compared to some kids where you watch them at gatherings. They need so much attention from everyone. She has a sketchbook and she'll go sit and sketch her comics for hours. So I feel like it's important. Kids get to like...
So she's cool.
She's super cool.
That's a lifestyle.
How Ava's going to be cool.
Yeah. That's a lifestyle that, I mean, even musicians themselves hardly ever get to experience, let alone the children of musicians. You know, I would say it's a very rare group. And, you know, it's almost like a royalty-based system in the sense that, like, it's very, very, I can't say elite, but there's an exclusive, you know, tribe or exclusive group of people that get to do that. And I mean, I wasn't one of them.
I know some kids like that.
Really?
Like famous people's kids, like rock star kids.
Yeah.
Like I'm friends with Paula Nelson, and I used to be friends with this guy that's Robin Gibbs' kid from the Bee Gees. Like, he would tell these stories of, like, he was on the Bee Gees, some Bee Gees tour, and his family had to come back to the United States. And so they hopped a ride with the McCartney tour and flew back to the States with Wings. How awesome is that?
Jump on that plane. Good. Go over there.
Listen, go with Uncle Paul and Aunt Linda, and they're going to take you to America.
Wow.
Drop you off.
Yeah.
Because they're playing the Orange Bowl in Miami, so they can take you there. It's just, it's such a different lifestyle.
It is. Yeah.
It's cool, though. I mean, it is.
And even the whole thing of, like, you know, taking your kid and... I actually, when we took Shiva on the road, there are more friends around the world that would call, knowing that you're coming to town, that they would set up a whole adventure for her alone.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
so
I
would get to different cities around Europe, around the States, and we had really close friends and with other kids that they would wait by the like venue when we would pull in for
a
loadout.
That's awesome.
That they would take her and be like, hey, like, we'll bring her back whenever, what time
when
is the bus
done.
Leaving?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, it's leaving at 1. They're like, no problem. She might be asleep. Like,
that's
we'll
amazing.
Just bring her. And they would bring her and
notes.
She would look at me like, I had the best afternoon.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, she wouldn't get sick of being like waiting at the venue with like her giant earplugs and headgear, which we totally did, you know? But...
Does she like the music? Like, when you play her your stuff that you're doing in the studio, does she get into it?
She used to be really into it when she was younger, where she would bop and dance to everything. And then now we're in the teen, tween,
she has her own thing.
And she has her own thing.
Oh, but guess who she's listening to now? Guess who she's listening to?
She loves
Leopold. No way. Oh, yeah. That's good.
See, so at least it's clean.
She likes
it. At least it's clean.
The slower songs, which is funny. She likes Golden. Is it
Golden
Friends?
Yeah.
And, like, she listens to that all the time, and she's figured it out on the guitar and
sings
it in her room. But as soon as I open the door, it's like, Mom, what are you doing here?
We can trade, because, I mean, Ava sings. She, you know, she sings.
She's into skateboarding, so it's that kind of era right now.
We're
going
to trade. As soon as Ava doesn't want to listen to my music anymore, we'll trade. It's going to be like, here, look at his music, all right.
She actually loves Ava. They get along.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she doesn't, nowadays she'll pretend she doesn't really like Bone, Fur, and Feathers while we're rehearsing or playing the songs around the house. But then she's come to shows, like during South By, she came to one of the showcases we did, and she came sitting with her sketchbook in the corner on the grass, and I watched her throughout the whole set. She was taking video and film, and she was singing along. So I feel like when she doesn't have that pressure of having to, like, talk about how she feels about the music, she's really into it. And she came over, and she texted all the videos to the band, and was like, I really like the transition in that song. We're like, okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
really be there for it.
It's like really particular, like, because she knows she's heard it enough that she can really tell you what actually sounded really good.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I mean, she's probably a better judge of it than the actual band members and yourself.
Yeah.
Because,
like, she's got to hear that every single day. I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, stop fucking playing the same song. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for her to hear that over and over and over again, then see it in action and not be on stage, that's a great angle.
Like one day Ava's going to come out of a room and go, Dad, I get it. You're caving in.
I know.
Enough already.
Stop. why are you so depressed all the time, Dad? What the hell's the matter with you? Oh, my God.
It's true.
I was like, I wrote these songs about you, so hey, you figure it out.
I'm not going to be here for April 5th, so that's going
to
be
terrible. We'll telecast it to your phone.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
Have you guys ever done one of those stages where you do it in your house and you do a concert from your laptop?
I've done it so far. No, I haven't done the stage yet. My daughter is getting into that. She started her own account.
And she's
well, it's
she
not
has
the
shows?
Stages. It's like another one, but she'll play guitar and sing her own makeup songs. And she has like, but it has to be her age group. This is
of course.
Made
yeah, you
for
know.
Her.
Yeah.
This
you
is
you
like,
don't
a,
like a 45-year-old dude. Like, I'm gonna check out my new 13-year-old prodigy. What's up? Yeah, I get it.
But this is like this network for kids, and it's like an age group, and it's all these teenagers playing songs for themselves.
Does she know like William Harris Graham and Grace London and all this like Marlon Sexton and the whole
new
generation
new here,
of kids?
Oh, I'm friends with Carrie. I met Carrie. It's just
Karen.
Yeah. Karen's, no, Carrie.
Carrie.
Carrie dates Carrie the Barry. Sexton.
Oh, Carrie Barry.
Yeah.
Charlie. Of course, Charlie. Marlon is Charlie's son.
Yeah. So she's met the youngest, actually Carrie's son, because they go to school together.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a new, I mean, we're getting into like meeting everyone little by little.
Yeah. I love Carrie. I love Charlie. Love Marlon too. It's fantastic.
I love Carrie too. Yeah. We're in the same yoga class.
Okay. Oh yeah, we're
Bikram pure yoga. No, it's okay.
It's public.
I don't say where I go.
I go everywhere.
I had some problems with this show saying where I go.
Okay, don't print it. Yeah.
Too late.
No, it's okay. They'll follow you. I don't give a shit. There's these weird ladies that show up at places you are like. Hey,
I already
what are you
do.
Doing here?
I already have.
Oh yeah.
Which, you know, but when it comes to yoga, I'm always like. I find that I embrace it because I have to push myself even further to lose all like self-conscious behavior that like, hey, like we're going to be here for an hour, hour and a half, and it's to do yoga. Like
if they want to stare at you, that's
fine.
If
you came because you felt like you wanted to be somewhere at the right time, right place, well, you're going to be doing yoga for an hour and a half.
That's
and you're going to sweat, and it's really hard. It's like pure yoga is tough. You're going to be in a room sweating. Mm-hmm. So... if, you know, I motivated you to come here and take a yoga class.
That's the most positive.
That's thumbs a great
up.
Way to look at it.
Thumbs up, you know. Because I have a hard time. Some days I do not want to get in that room. So.
I've never been in that room.
It's tough.
Can I tell you guys something that I've been thinking this whole time?
Yes,
you both
please.
Look really famous. Right now, to me.
Amazing.
Like, I feel very schlubby. Like, I put on the most comfortable, oldest jeans I have.
I do, too.
Look at that poster, though. I mean...
Fuck off. I'm just joking.
I went to the dog park. Like
no,
that,
I know.
That poster was real.
It's so... Do you guys act either?
I don't know. I mean, that was real. She really punched me in the face. I really did.
They kept saying at first, like, really punch him. And I was like, no. And eventually
everyone was saying,
just,
punch him, except me. I was like, don't punch me. And Lulu was just like... Pah!
Man, she gave the uppercut to her teeth like that.
That was not the only time, either.
Cheer up, Charlie's.
No, I did some side jabs, too. I think those could be on a little video.
Yeah, we've got some videos coming out in support of this show. We released one on... we do a video every Tuesday on Instagram. If you I don't even know if we're friends on Instagram. Or do you have Instagram? Do you do that whole?
No, he's really
yes,
good.
We are friends on.
Oh,
Instagram.
We are.
Yeah,
see?
I follow you, man. I'm a fan of yours.
I don't actually look on Instagram. I just post and then hope for the best. But so we do it Tuesday.
That's really funny. I put it out there, man. Hope he's gonna get some light. I don't know what's gonna happen, man.
All you can
but
do.
That photo's out there. So you're going to be posting videos on Instagram every Tuesday
every
tour?
Tuesday, every Tuesday for the rest of my life.
And it's Leopold and his fiction.
Yeah, for the past year. We've done about videos for about the past year. And so we did one already, the space, can I say outfit?
Yeah.
It's the space outfit. I don't know if that applies to that. But
it's a really good theme. It has that old school Buck Rogers meets.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So it's all in space. Floating heads.
Yep.
Like it.
So that's how it started, and we have a few other ones coming out. But it's all just it's one hand washes the other. It's all promotion. It's all fun. It's all you get to hang out with your friends and in front of a green screen or wherever else you want and make videos and music.
Well, we've talked about your video for Caving In on the last one extensively. How amazing it. It's so that's your drummer, right?
Yes, it is. He's making all those. Trevor.
Genius.
Trevor, man, he captured, you look so perfect for what's going on, everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. And even the song all of a sudden has this feeling from, this antiquated feeling.
I feel like that's the most you can hope for out of a video is to really be paired well, because I'm at a particular gym every day around 2 p.m. I'm not going to say which one, but they have videos. They have videos playing all the time, and I just feel so bad for those bands. I don't really feel that bad, but I'm what I'm saying. I'm watching their videos, just thinking these guys are assholes, and they might be the nicest guys in the world, but I think they're assholes because their video is just so unoriginal.
Yeah.
Even if their music's the best, I'm still man, this is terrible, and I feel really, really awful. I mean, that they're putting all their, eggs in one basket. This is what I'm seeing. This is my only perception of them, and they got the short end of the stick. And I don't even want to hear the song.
Yeah.
Granted, I have my headphones in, so I don't have to listen to them. But this video, I just feel it represents exactly who we are.
Yeah.
At that time, now. And what's funny is that when we shot it, we were going for a James Brown vibe.
Yeah.
But when you're in front of the green screen, it's just me dancing like an idiot, in front of a green screen. Yeah. I can't see this stuff. And he's like, tell me what you want to do. I was like, James Brown. And he's like, okay, do James Brown. So he did James Brown, 10 times. And then a week passed, and he said, so James Brown. I was like, whoa, space, outer space. Oh, we get Jazz back in there with the space helmet. Yeah, she's dancing. And then a week later happens, what if guitars just magically appeared and stuff? And he's like, okay, so we did that. Then it all ties together, and it's like this David Copperfield guy that when we started in James Brown era. Yeah, so it's just to pull it all together. It's wow, that's. But he had a vision from the beginning what he wanted
to
see,
super
creative. And he'll keep to himself, and then edit it the way that he sees fit, and then say where what needs to be tightened up or loosened. Yeah. It turns out great, and that was the first thing we ever worked on together, because he joined the band after Peter and Dorian left, so he wasn't on that recording, so he had a totally different take on it, and that was his take, and it's
unbelievable.
It went well with it. Thanks. Yeah, he's proud of it for sure.
You know what's funny is when you say that, I wonder, and because you were talking about you listen to My Bloody Valentine and stuff, while you're the one song that I've heard has some feeling of that, it's very your own. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard anybody like that before.
Cool.
Same with you and with your guy, with Trevor, directing that video. Say he's trying to make, it's what I'm trying to get to is, it's funny, real artists, there's people that can copy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great at doing it. They can mimic something. They can go hey, I'm going to write a song that sounds like Paul McCartney. And it will literally sound like Paul McCartney. But when you get somebody like Paul McCartney, who thought he was totally copying Roy Orbison, in Please Please Me. You can hear it if you really think about it. But it's when somebody tries to do something and they think they're doing it, and it goes through the filter of them, and it comes out them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did that make sense?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. That person is definitely, you know, secure enough with what they're doing that they can extend their their mind to go play the Roy Orbison song or be, you know, heavily inspired. And that's
I think that's the difference. It's like heavily inspired. Yeah. It's like inspiration and just wanting to follow a formula.
Yeah.
Like, there's different, and you see that a lot with bands. It's like, because, you know, I'm not going to say how I feel about any of it, but for example, there are bands, there are boy bands out there that are really well known. And you'll
There's just
have,
one. It's called One Direction.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, or just that one. Or
You're talking about the Beatles?
No, I actually think like even like more dancier, like for example, Foster the People.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
A lot of bands nowadays, I feel like just try to follow even that formula. Like, so many bands just take these like up downs and they're like, we're gonna make that song because their hit is great, we're gonna take that hit and we're gonna copy it exactly and just punch in different words.
Well, I mean, that's what the industry wants you to do anyways.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that labels. But then inspiration is different.
Entirely.
When you know, if you grew up a fanatic of James Brown or Roy Orbison for Paul McCartney, it's like the inspiration is going to be giving you a different product. Like, you're just, you want it to sound as good because you want to be able to like be ranked like them, you know? So that's a different process, I guess, altogether.
It's sad because we just met and I have a whole musical history, but you're going to walk out of here thinking, I just want to be Olivia Newton-John because of what you saw. The only thing you've ever seen me do musically is work on Olivia Newton-John.
Let's get physical.
Well, I wasn't doing that. I was too hopelessly devoted. You know what's funny about the song "Hopelessly Devoted to You"?
But they don't know what song you were doing. Though. So I'd like to say that you were doing this one.
It's because I played in a band, and I don't want to. I hate that. Oh, better not hit it. Or when I hit the wrong chord, and then smile at everyone. It's jazz.
It's
what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
I turned the beat around.
Just a little blue note in there for you.
Yeah, just a little blue note.
Man.
You know that song, it was when I was a kid, that movie came out. I was a little kid. I was like summer between third and fourth grade, and I would go like to the bathroom and go get popcorn and go get during that song, because that was the dumbest song. It was a girl singing to a pond. And now it's like the best song I've ever heard in my life. And I get so mad at myself, like at little kid me, like, what is wrong with you, you little Kiss fan?
Just couldn't own up to it back then.
Yeah, there's no way Grease Lightning is better than that song.
Well, no.
Depends.
You guys do any covers in your bands? Like one cover? Sometimes that defines a band.
Oh, we do a whole bunch now.
Okay.
I mean, just being on the road for, you know, last time I was in here, I think we were probably midway through it, but it turned out we did 230 dates in the past 11 months. And
Jesus.
I know.
Some of those shows, I'd say about a quarter of those end up being like three-hour sets. And for a three-piece...
So you got to make a living out there.
Yeah, you just got... And you just play the same song sometimes. Yeah. You're in places that they never heard you before. Yeah. And, you know, you start at 9 and you're playing to 1.
Sure.
At, you know, and by the time one hits, you could be playing a record and people would not know the difference because it's so... You know, it's that time of night.
Yeah.
So we're playing the same songs over and over again, and we learn a few covers. And I swear, sometimes people are like, "That is the coolest original I've ever heard."
Yeah.
And it's like, "Are you kidding me? That's on the radio." That's like, well, maybe it's not on the radio anymore. It's on my radio all the time. But we play. We just really figured out my favorite cover I've ever played. Carole King's song, "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow."
Are you kidding me? It's fucking amazing.
So good.
We play it like in the Shirelles manner, but it sounds a lot like, it's definitely through that Leopold filter, the filter we were just talking about. Because I started the chords with the guys, and they're like, "That's cool. That's really cool." So they're like, "What? Do you have words for it?" And I was like, "Well, let's just work on the music some more." And I didn't tell them anything. Learned all the chord changes. And they were feeling it here, feeling it there. They're like, "Do you have words?" And I was like, "Okay, let's take it from the top." And went through. They're like, "Oh my God, that's you know, it was really cool." And then, you know, the second pass through it, they had all the harmonies, because everyone knows the words, everyone knows the harmonies.
Yeah.
They had the harmonies. It was like the quickest we've ever worked on a song. And within 40 minutes, we had the whole song mapped out. We took it on this past little run, and it just slays when we're in front of the crowds, because they're hearing, like, you know. We're playing all original songs, and people are really liking it, and you know, but they're feeling it out. They don't know how their bodies are reacting. They're clapping and dancing, and then they're watching because we're kind of maniacs up there. Then all of a sudden, will you still love me? Yeah. There's like, oh, it just makes sense. It ties it all together. And so there's that song, and then there's we do a Bob Dylan cover, and we do a I think it's George Gershwin song, Don't Fence Me In.
Oh, yeah.
Or is that Cole Porter? Is that,
did I see you do that somewhere?
I think so. I think we've been playing that for about a year now. But.
Yeah, because I thought it was weird. It's Cole Porter.
It is Cole Porter, yeah. That's right. Okay. And then we cover a Bone, Fur, and Feather song. We're working on it. No. Well, can I have your set list, by the way?
What do you guys do any covers?
You know, just because we started, like, it's a kind of fresh band, I think we rehearse a lot more our songs because we have so many that we're introducing every time, new songs. I think we have a total of 13 songs, but we tend to play only for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple of covers. We're holding them.
Okay. We'll, you don't want to divulge?
No.
That's cool.
You know.
You can make something
up.
He just rolled
his eyes at me.
Because I want to know.
Is it Olivia Newton-John?
No, it's actually...
That's
why.
She never wanted to say
that's
it.
Right.
I think being a female singer, it's always fun to find these like songs that were kind of ambiguous. Like there's a couple of Brian Jones Massacre tunes that I love, that I feel like, especially if you take it out of a little bit of that depression... Like you can give them a lot more movement,
and you make it through the whole song without freaking out, yelling at people.
Exactly. So that means there's some beautiful songs in there. You know?
Oh my God, I love the Brian Jones Massacre.
Me too.
I really do.
You know, and then we've discussed some like older. I mean, you know, we love the band. I don't know if you like the band.
You kidding me? Yeah.
So
yeah, they're all right.
There's some good grooves in there, especially when we have five part. Exactly.
Are you playing that song?
Yeah. But it's a good one.
Okay.
Especially when you have five-part harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone in the band sings,
so
those
everybody
were
sings.
The tunes. Everybody sings back up. And like some parts, even if they feel like coming in, they're welcome to. They know kind of the parameters as far as my vocals, and if they make it fit without kind of.
What's really funny, you think, okay, well, we got four people in this band, four part harmonies. Oh, okay, this is it. This is the biggest it's gonna get. We don't need any more. Four parts. This is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And then jazz walks in.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
And then jazz walks in, and then you're like, oh, well, I guess we could do a six part harmony. That's fine because she does cover for two people somehow.
Wow.
She has that ability. If you have five part harmony on a record, you would make a track extra just for jazz to sing one more part because it's because it's that good. And you're like, oh man, well, maybe we should try a little harder on our instruments because jazz is singing on this. You know, it's motivating.
Like, I keep asking jazz. At first, it was like just during the choruses, and then I was like, well, can you sing here?
Yeah. It keeps
why don't you start this verse with me?
Yeah,
I got an idea. I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette. You take over, right? I'll be back. You know,
Frenchie was here when he was working on your stuff.
Oh yeah,
and he said, "I have Jazz Mills," and I was like, "Oh, I just love Jazz Mills." He's like, "Yeah, you know what's cool about working with her is you just." Get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said.
There's point.
I love that when people say that about somebody.
Yes, definitely.
Especially someone that you think is great. You know what I mean?
Well, definitely. What's really cool is she. It's very, very rare that someone as gifted and talented can take direction as well as she does.
So easygoing. Yeah,
she's very easygoing.
Mm-hmm. She definitely. And she has
she
ideas.
She wants to meet the world.
She has ideas, a lot of ideas of her own on the recordings. But the thing is, it's like she knows what she's capable of, and even if she's not capable of it, she'll try it and or come up with something that's better than that idea anyways. So you're just like, okay.
Does she bring a as a person to me, she's always like rolling in this kind of like non-judgmental,
completely
roll with the flow, not a freaker.
Mm-mm. No, she's super easy. You know, what's really interesting is I've always wanted to play with more female musicians.
Yeah.
Like when we moved to, I've always wanted that kind of band. Like, not an all-girl band, because I don't want it to be one way or the other, but I just wanted a 50-50, same presence. And when we moved to Austin, I was really looking for female musicians, and it was really hard. A lot of people have already their own projects,
or
guitar players are already like their own singers.
Right.
And I remember trying to work with a couple of other female vocalists in the East Coast, and then here, and right away there was a little bit of just, you know, people have their opinions, and depending on their experience, they're not shy to like take over and show you what they think. And with Jazz, is like as soon as she came in, she was just like, oh, this song, I love this part. Like, I love singing this part. It was just very positive. Yeah. And, you know, she came in and did the parts that she was, like, told to highlight.
Right.
And then she was like, I'm open to whatever you want to do. Like, that's what she says from the start. Like, I'm open. And so then you're able to tell her, honestly, how you feel. Like, for me, it was like, you know, I'm not really certain about my melody. I know that it needs a lot of harmonies in this part. So don't really listen to me. You go with what you feel. And we work really, we have a similar approach where it's about feel.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a different, you know, as far as their approach to music, it's, they need the note, they need the octave, they need the harmonies, they need everything beforehand. And I don't work that way. Some of the musicians in the band do. I work with feel. Like, music is a...
Use the force.
Use the force. It's a visual. It's like, it's
trust
natural.
Trust your feelings.
It's a DNA. You have to close your eyes and you really feel like the music is colors and they undulate. It's a DNA pattern and you got to catch that wave.
So with jazz, there's this... I mean, you as well, but I mean, I know you play a few instruments and we play them well. With jazz, she doesn't want to play anything. Mm-hmm. There's this willed ignorance, purposefully, just like, I'll get in the room and I'll make you know, this amazing, amazing thing happen. Even chords, like ideas. She, you say you have a musical director in your band. I mean, we practice endless hours when jazz isn't there, and then when she steps in, we're like, okay, this is what we're singing. Jazz, is this the right harmony? Is this? And then she literally is the vocal director, and just she only comes, you know, like once a month to rehearse. She's been playing with us for like 5 years now, so she doesn't need to be there by any means but you know, it's a really cool thing.
And she hears it. As soon as she hears that harmony that fits, she has it, and she'll remember it.
There's no need of
we're gonna
like
fight
repeating.
Over jazz. That's what the
this podcast is totally like devolved into.
That's what the boxing poster is about.
Fighting over jazz?
Yes.
She's a Gemini. You can have one of her. That's fine.
What about
Ava can have the other. And then
what about me?
Hey.
I like her too.
Johnny, you want to fight about jazz too?
I don't want to fight over jazz.
Actually, she wouldn't like us fighting. She wouldn't like that.
I'll tell you what, this podcast has
like
turned into like a meeting of the Jazz Mills fan club.
This is almost like AA.
Hello, everyone.
For jazz.
AA for jazz. Well, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. So, I have a jazz problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so April 5th. I'm sorry, I'm watching the time, too. Cheer Up Charlie's, April 5th. 8 p.m. Doors, 9 p.m. Bone, Fur, and Feathers, 10 p.m. Leopold and His Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Expect a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Expect Jazz Mills in both bands.
Yes.
And great vocals.
Pow, pow.
Blood.
Boxing.
And you are going on tour, Daniel. You're going to play some shows. You're going to play one in Phoenix.
Yes.
With my friends in the Soft White 60s,
friends. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know those guys?
I know them pretty well, yeah. I mean, well, they're San Francisco-based, and so are we
That's right.
8 or 9 years. And it's funny, because Aaron, who is here, Aaron Eisenberg,
he
tried out for Leopold before Soft White 60s were a band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he tried out for guitar and harmonica, and he was really young at the time, and really great, and we really wanted to be a part of it, but we just like this leaving for a 2-month tour that turned into a year-long tour. We just couldn't ever get back and rehearse and everything, but he came to a few rehearsals and it was really cool, and now we get to maybe he'll get up there with us this time, who knows, but
what's the singer's name, Octavio, right?
Octavio.
We had one of the most amazing, I'm Cuban, and we had a fucking like Latin male moment.
Nice.
Yeah, like I'm single and I don't know if he is or not, but we're in the middle of this podcast and the fucking in the middle of the Driscoll, and the whole band of me were like sitting there talking South by Southwest. It's all crazy. And these three super good looking girls like walk by, and this one dude's talking to me and Octavio go. And then we just looked at each other and just busted out laughing. It was like, you just totally had like, easy there. One of us should have whistled.
That's true.
I'm not a whistler. just so you know. Like, yeah.
Lulu's a whistler, yeah. Obviously.
So is there anything I'm missing? Anything I should know?
No.
You're both parents. You're both rockers. You both look like a movie is happening.
That's
and you're then you playing with friends of mine, too, in D.C.
Oh, yeah, D.C. We're Who's playing that? With
Sunwolf.
Sunwolf.
That's Three a good piece. Name.
Yeah, they're awesome. Garage rock.
I like garage
Super
rock.
Super fun.
Do you think you're garage rock? Or are you just rock and roll? Well, what do you
the
say?
The great part is that we... I mean, we can fit in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we can. We also can fit in a country. We just, we,
you
have oh
rock.
My God.
You're rock, so you to, can go in a lot of different.
I've been meaning to bring this up the whole podcast.
Okay.
We just played in Oklahoma, and I don't know why I wanted to talk about this so bad, but I was hoping that some kind of question would be like, I saw you just played in Oklahoma, and I was going to say, man, oh man. Yes, we did. And, have you played in Oklahoma before?
You kidding me? Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck yes. Yeah, man.
I've played there before, but it wasn't like this. This place was called the Wormy Dog, and for one, well, I don't ever want to... Oh, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, yeah, it's my town.
Or Stillwater, I believe.
Stillwater's not my town, but okay. I played at Eskimo Joe's there a
okay.
lot
okay.
for the last 23 years.
So there's a place called Wormy Dog, and I don't ever want to play... I don't ever want to be in a place called the Wormy Dog, ever.
No.
No, I don't want to be there, so... But we get there, and it's a really cool venue. It's, like, definitely shit-kicker venue. And it's, like, just cliche. When we load in the back, and we get there, and it's, you know, whatever, sawdust and shit. And, like, everything's wooden, and it's whatever. We're like, okay, here we are. But the headlining band is sound-checking, and they're very much well-suited for this place. Dirty River Boys, who are from here as well, they just moved here. Frenchie recorded them as well. That's how we met them. So they're sound checking, and we're like, oh my God, one of us is in deep shit. Either they're in the right place or we are. And you know, we're opening for them, and it. I mean, we're gonna set the bar as high as we play our show, as we always do. That's what we're being paid for, to be there. And before we're playing, though, it's all like top 40 hip hop and everything. So it's just completely confusing culture clash. People get in the door and they start getting blasted at like 6 p.m. And they're, you know, they're having a great time. Everything's cool. Before we even play, they're line dancing in front of the fucking stage. Line dancing. So, I mean, this might not sound like a big deal, but from Detroit.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Detroit,
yeah.
This isn't real. This is like, they made a movie about it, like Coyote Ugly. Right?
Right.
And that's as much as I know about line dancing in bars. And or there's other movies. So just as we're about to play, there's people like getting rowdy and pushing and everything else. There's people dancing on top of the fucking bar. And I swear to God, it's 9 p.m. You know? And
having a good time.
This really sounds crazy.
It's crazy. It was like, what was that?
Well, sounds like night, something out of a late 70s Burt Reynolds
like,
movie.
Yeah, totally. One night.
I wish I was making this up. That's what I'm saying. I wish I was making it up because like, it would be a good...
So what happened when played?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a Saturday. Friday night. So
they were cutting loose.
We played. Everyone stopped everything. Record scratch. Crickets. Yeah. They all moved. It went from like a half... moon in front of the stage to a outer space, deep space, like not one person was there, and it was definitely we were definitely in the wrong place, and that's okay, but we were playing and everyone was feeling it, having a great time, getting rowdy, shouting, just screaming, and we'd stop in between songs and then they all look at each other to see if they were all gonna clap, and no one was the hero, so they all just kind of waited. But then like this the coolest guy in the whole place, it turns out he was like 75 and sober, and he's there every single night. He decided he was the hero, and he like ran up to the front of the stage and he was dancing the whole time, and then you know halfway through the set it was
then
fine.
People, yeah, it takes it was, one guy.
It
one
was
person.
One guy. One person. Yeah. It was really great. I don't know why I wanted to ramble so much about this Oklahoma show, but it was definitely hip hop line dancing. Good old boys, and that cliche, or if a stereotype, I don't know what you want to call it, but the big hair and beautiful, tall, like 6 foot woman, they exist in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Is this
super 80s, like the little 80s Amazon.
Yeah.
They're all over.
So yeah, you take like the hip hop and the Amazon and the good old boys and that's.
I like Oklahoma.
I'm
not a fan so much as Stillwater, but I do like Norman's. Awesome.
Oh yeah, we stayed in Norman.
Amazing
the whole
time.
Time
and yeah. And I love OKC. I've got a great, great, great friend there, Sky Morris.
Morris.
Who's just an amazing, amazing guy. And he knows all the great places to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's always got a list of activities for the whole time you're there. Like a great guy.
I'm going to have to call Morris up. I'm going to have to call him up.
Are you going to OKC?
We'll be back up there in June once we get back
okay.
from all this.
All right. Seriously, all tell me. I will tell Morris. Morris will okay. bring a bunch of people. He will love your band.
It was actually a really great time. The venue loved it. Everyone, they all had a good time. I think it was just like new kid in school. We don't want to
sure,
be
man.
His friend. Man, he's a weirdo, but he dresses cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We can be friends. Anyhow.
Well, it takes time.
It does take time.
You do dress cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And you look cool. And I'm going to go ahead and just start writing a screenplay when you guys leave for you.
Can you include that Oklahoma story and make it a little bit
better?
Oh,
there's going to be,
at least
yeah.
have a punchline to it.
Superhero
tornado
style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to, you guys aren't familiar with the Clint Eastwood movie Every Which Way But Loose?
Sounds familiar. Which one was it?
Every Which Way But Loose. He's like a he's that's a song. You turn me every which way but loose.
That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, you know you could play I'm Proud to Be an Okie from Muskogee.
Okay.
Muskogee when you're there. You know what I'm
okay.
talking about?
I heard that song.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
It was in a movie.
Yeah, it was in a movie.
I think it was in Every Which Way But Loose.
There it is.
Okay.
So we've all seen that movie.
It wasn't. It was in a different movie.
Anyway, he's a professional like fighter, not a boxer, but like a illegal underground fighter. Like everyone stands
this
in a
is
circle,
Morris?
Takes off his shirt. No,
Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood was. Oh, I was gonna say Matt Morris.
And he hangs out with the monkey, with
I've
an
seen
orangutan.
That, yes.
And the lady from Harold and Maude is his mom. Mm-hmm. Get the goddamn son of a bitch out of that. And she's always cussing. It's really funny. It's not funny at all, but it was funny to me when I was 10.
There's a monkey in it.
An orangutan.
And he flips people off.
I feel like the more you talk about it, the more familiar it's
a cultural.
Like
it's a cultural phenomenon.
It.
You might not have seen it, but maybe it's ingrained,
it's ingrained.
In your DNA. Okay.
I remember what the punchline was, the Oklahoma story.
Oh, what is it?
There was a tornado. We're here. We're alive, though.
Good. What is the Bone Fur and Feathers website?
Right now, it's actually Bandcamp, Bone Fur and Feathers.
Okay.
And then Facebook, Bone Fur and Feathers.
Okay. And then Leopold
is... we have a free download, actually. If you go on the Facebook
and go
to the band page, you can download
that song
someday for free.
That song's got a great chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
12-part harmony. Everyone can shout.
Okay.
Jesus. That's a lot of parts.
It's not actually hard. It's more... I hope one day the whole audience will be singing that chorus.
That's
it's one of those, like, where
yeah.
everyone can chant.
12-part. Okay. 12-part. I'll be there.
Do it.
Leopold and his fiction, you can find... And everyone that's listening all around the United States, you can see this... Lulu will be on tour with Thievery Corporation all over the United States. But if you live in Austin, the special night is at Cheer Up Charlie's April 5th, 9 p.m. Bone Fur and Feathers, 10 p.m. Leopold and His Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you both for coming. Jazz Mills will be featured in both bands.
She will be. And so, yeah, we're holding a Jazz Mills AA meeting right before.
Yeah, those of you that need to get off jazz.
Yeah.
I think that this is a good cycle. You should come every 6 months.
I'll schedule in.
Yeah.
It's like,
and
it's
Lulu,
like
now
trip.
You too.
Awesome.
6 months from now. Oh, 6 months from now, you'll have songs out and stuff.
Yeah.
We'll have new stuff to talk about.
What kind
sure.
of stuff to talk about?
Bring jazz. I'll get another microphone.
That's right.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
then
thank
we can
you guys.
Then we can
thank
4-part
you.
Harmony in here.
We could.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can you dub stuff on top?
Psh,
okay.
Me? I got
perfect.
Multi track recording.
We'll record what we need to record. And then
look at those dub plates over there.
Dub plates. You guys are out of my. It's out of my.
I don't even know what that means.
What?
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for Lulu and Daniel, huh? Two people on very little sleep and someone that seemed a little high. I don't know. You figure out who was who. Saturday, April 5th, 2014. If you are in Austin, go to Cheer Up Charlie's. Doors are at 8. Bone Fur and Feathers are at 9. Leopold and His Fiction are on at 10. Get out there. Check out their music online. I'm really falling in love with this Bone Fur and Feathers music. I love dreamy music. And that is some dreamy fucking music, and I love it. It's rocking and it's dreamy. Leopold and His Fiction, of course. I'm a huge fan of that band, and a huge fan of Daniels. Now I'm a huge fan of Lulu's. Not only is she easily one of the most beautiful women I've ever met, but also extremely cool and very talented. All right, produced by the great Adrian Quesada. That's his doing the Bone, Furs, and Feathers. You've heard him on the show. He's a great guy. Look, I'm not going to keep talking, but I am. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out this music online, you go to the iTunes, you subscribe to this podcast, How Did I Get Here? You find it in the podcast section. Subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a comment, if you will. Tell us how you feel, even if you don't feel great about it. You'll hurt my feelings, but I'll take it like a man. I always do. You can get on our Facebook page and like it. It is How Did I Get Here? And of course, you can always follow me and my antics on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. Okay, let's listen to Bone, Fur, and Feathers. This is a beautiful, beautiful jam. And I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lulu and Daniel. I love them. Go see them April 5th, 2014. Cheer up, Charlies. Let's get down. Let's get down. Let's get down.
Curious stranger, why?